Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. We are so excited to be able to celebrate Easter with you. Thank you for opening our homes to us, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to celebrate our risen Savior today. What a beautiful day it is. What a great day to be alive. This is truly the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We want you to take a moment, if you haven't already, and go ahead and get your elements of communion ready and have them on hand. If you don't have grape juice or bread, you don't have crackers, whatever it is, just get something and have it ready. It doesn't really matter so much what it is. It matters the intent of our heart when we do it and the reflection of the observance of the Lord's body and his blood and his ultimate sacrifice. So we welcome you today. I want you to just relax. I want you to enjoy the presence of the Lord. And let's just celebrate our Savior today and always and enjoy his presence.
Hope will final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. Began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeat.
Nothing too dirty that
you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me.
Nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. The song says, He washed me in mercy, and I am clean. There's nothing that we've ever done in our own flesh, in our own sin, or our own failures that's more powerful than what Jesus did on the cross. The power of the blood of Jesus, His body, which was broken for us, His blood, which was shed for us, is way more powerful than my weakness. I want you to go ahead and get your communion elements ready. We're going to get ready to take communion together. I love the observance of the Lord's body. He sat down on the night of the feast or the Passover with his disciples, and he said, I have desired to eat this meal together with you. He began by washing the feet of the disciples and declaring to them the things that was going to take place. He set it with them with the communion table. As he washed the feet of the disciples, Peter said, Lord, not my feet. You're not going to wash my feet, are you? Jesus simply said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. The song said, he washed me in mercy, and I am clean. And I hope you're like Peter today, that you said, then, Lord, don't just wash my feet. Wash my head, wash my mind, my thinking. Wash my hands, wash my feet, wash me from top to bottom. Because I believe that Peter's desire was to do what the Master had bid him to do. Every one of the disciples sat at the table of the communion with the Lord and dipped in the same sop that he dipped in. Even as he knew one of them would betray him with a kiss, Jesus still shared the Lord's body with all of the disciples. We sometimes wonder if we're worthy enough to take communion, and the answer to that question is no, we're really not. The whole purpose of taking communion is to understand that it's not my worthiness, but it's his worthiness. And that except we drink the cup and eat of the Lord's body, we have no communion with him. It's only through his body and only through his blood that makes us worthy. So yeah, today we stand not in our own worthiness, we stand in his blood, his forgiveness, and his worthiness. And that's a beautiful thing. Communion is a symbol of the Passover. When the children of Israel got ready to come out of Egypt, and they put the blood on the doorpost, and they took the lamb in the house, and they got their shoes on and their staff in their hand, and he said, I want you to stay in your house. Some of you have had to stay in your house. It's like being quarantined, but if you're going to be quarantined, you got to be quarantined with a lamb. And he said, when the death angel passes, it's going to pass over you, because none of these plagues are going to come upon you. We declare that over our nation today, over your homes, that none of these plagues are coming upon you. Viruses have got to go in Jesus' name. Sickness has got to go in Jesus' name. And as he began to take the body and the blood of Jesus, in John he began to speak to them even before the supper, and he said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They saith unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, or have everlasting life. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live and shall live forever. And we say today, as we get ready to take the communion bread, that we take it as life. It is life-giving. And we say that this is the bread of everlasting life, of life and not death, of health and not sickness, peace and not pain. Hallelujah. Comfort and not sorrow. But it is the body of Jesus that we celebrate today. In Matthew chapter 26, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. If you want to go ahead and get your bread, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to the disciples. Father, we thank you today for this bread that was given for us. Lord, you broke that bread. Lord, you gave us bread of life. Lord, that in the belly of every one of those disciples, no matter what they faced, Lord, whether betrayal, denial, fear, doubt, whatever it was, Lord, the belly, in their belly was everlasting life. It was the manna from heaven and the bread of life. And Father, we thank you today for it. He said, take, eat, this is my body. I want you to take of your bread today. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to savor that bread. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to savor the flavor of his goodness today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the body of Jesus. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. Thank you, Jesus, for the cup of redemption that we take today in your name. Thank you for your blood. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Thank you, Jesus. The song that says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just savor those elements of the communion this morning while Beth plays.
Washed in the blood of your sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Oh, washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed.
Hearts of your people right now, God.
You wash me in mercy.
Everlasting love and peace.
I am clean. There's nothing too dirty.
Your redemptive power is what
you can
flowing
make
through
worthy.
Our veins, Lord.
wash me in mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Oh, washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty purified, I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean.
Amen, amen. I hope you feel the power of that. I hope you understand the power of that. I'm so thankful for the redemptive power of Jesus. I'm so thankful that it is life-changing. I'm thankful for the testimony of knowing and having known God most of my life, having accepted Him into my heart as a little girl. I know what the power of the cross can do to change people's lives. I stand here in humility and honor before God today, saying, God, thank you. Thank you that you stepped into our lives. You changed our destiny. You changed our history. And you brought hope to a clan of kids and moms and dads who knew nothing of the life of Jesus. They lived a rugged and hard life, but yet God saw potential. He saw purpose, and He saw the power that could come out of changing a heart. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus today. I want to share with you today just the Easter story, what we call the Easter story, but it's not really an Easter story. It's the greatest story ever told. It's the story of resurrection life. And we sometimes only hear it at this time of year in Easter, but I love doing a series leading up to the Easter story because there's so many powerful pictures of what Jesus is doing. I hope you got to see some of our mountain meditations, our moments that we shared this week on the seven sayings of the cross. And I believe when Jesus spoke for the cross, He was prophetically declaring some things. He was fulfilling Scripture, and everything that He said, He was fulfilling Scripture. He was pointing those at the foot of the cross to eternity. And you know, when I think about what was happening in that time, and I shared yesterday, I think, in a comment on Facebook that, you know, Saturday to me, the day after Good Friday, is always a day that's like you're not sure what to do. You know, Friday is so solemn and so serious and such a reflection of the gruesome agony of the cross and the passion of Jesus and the understanding, the significance of the thorn, of the curse, of the crown that Jesus wore, the piercing of His side, the nail prints in His hands. And we see all of that and we reflect on that, but Saturday just seems, I don't know, just silent. And I don't know if God has ever been silent in your life before, if you've ever had that time between Friday and Sunday, and maybe you live there most of the time, maybe you're there right now, maybe you've been there, and that moment where you've focused on the cross, and yet Saturday is silent. It doesn't seem like God is saying anything. And yet the earth quaked and shook and trembled when Jesus cried out from the cross. And I think in the heart of Peter and the disciples on that Saturday, how their heart must have quaked and trembled and shook. The earthquake inside of them was probably way more powerful and is heard louder than the earthquake that was going on around them. But I'm thankful that Saturday didn't end there, but Sunday was on the way. And you've heard that a lot this week. It might seem like Friday night in your life, but Sunday is on the way. And so I want to share some scriptures with you today out of John chapter 9. But before that, Romans 3, 24 and 25 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Revelations 1, 17 and 18 says, and when I saw him, remember we've been talking about focus, when you have your eyes on Jesus, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I'm saying that to you today, fear not. I am the first and the last. I have the first word and the last word. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. What a beautiful, powerful scripture. John the Revelator says that from the book of Revelation, and he makes a statement in the verse. Very first part of the book of Revelation says, this is the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ. And John says, and I saw. John stood at the foot of the cross. I saw him who was sacrificed. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist declared that day on the Jordan. But in John chapter 20 verse 1 through 18, and I want to read it. If you don't hear anything today except my readings of the stories of the resurrection, that'll be okay. Let it speak to you whatever you need to hear out of this portion of Scripture. And it says, in the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, or in a dark season, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away my Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And he seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brother and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. What a beautiful picture of Mary coming to the tomb, weeping in sorrow. You know, and I shared this week on some of the posts that the name Mary means bitterness. And I thought about that while bitterness will make you mourn for what used to be. And we're in a day right now where things have been changed. Life as we know it and knew it have changed. Because of what's going on in our nation, we've had to do things a different way. And some of us may be mourning for what used to be. You might be weeping for what used to be. But when Mary comes to the grave, she is weeping. But I want to tell you today that bitterness is no match for an empty tomb. Sorrow is no match for an empty tomb. Fear is no match for an empty tomb. Doubt is no match for an empty tomb. This virus is no match for an empty tomb. One of the things we see in this picture is that they have to stoop down and look into the place where he was laid. I think about that in a sense of humility, where sometimes we've got to stoop down and peer in and look into that grave to see what's truly true of us, what's truly taken place. And the scripture says that when they look into that tomb, they see an angel at the head and an angel at the foot, and the tomb is empty. And the scripture, it reminds me of the picture of the mercy seat. When the angels of the cherubim stood on the mercy seat, and one stood at the head and one stood at the foot, and the blood sprinkling of the Lamb was in the middle. How many know when they peered into that tomb, what they saw was a picture of that heavenly mercy seat? Romans told us that Jesus was our propitiation. That word propitiation means atonement. He is our heavenly mercy seat. And under the old covenant, under the tabernacle, only the priests go in once a year and could sprinkle that mercy seat with the blood of a spotless lamb. But I want you to know today that our heavenly mercy seat, our heavenly lamb, gives us opportunity today to peer into that tomb and to see what's already been finished, what's already been accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Mary is looking at Jesus in this sense, and he says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And we may have come today in weeping. You may have come in tears. You may have come in discouragement. But the word says that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And joy is not connected to your circumstances. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I believe what he's saying to her is quit weeping over what used to be and quit trying to anoint what was before. We want to anoint what was already done, what was prior to the tomb. But how many know Jesus says we can't anoint what used to be? The anointing is what is on yet to come. And he says to Mary, "Don't touch me." And I always think about that scripture and, you know, wonder why Jesus said that. And if ever there was a moment of social distancing, how many know Jesus did the social distancing? "Don't touch me, Mary." And I wondered why he said that. But I believe what he's saying to her is, don't try to hold me in this place of limitation. You can't touch this or cling to me in a graveyard. You got to celebrate me with an upper room. Greater things are yet to come. Don't try to hold me to what you used to know, Mary, but celebrate me what is yet to come. How many know greater things were yet to come? If Mary had held him there in that tomb and in that place, how many know he couldn't have took her to higher places? He couldn't have taken her to the upper room. And I also believe it's a picture of that mercy seat. How many know under the old covenant, you weren't allowed to touch the mercy seat. You weren't allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant, so much that when they were bringing, David was bringing the Ark back out of the camp of the Philistines, and Uzzah touched the Ark, the scripture says that he dropped dead, he was so, David was afraid and he was frustrated. The scripture says David was frustrated. And so he said, we're going to take it to the house of Obed-Edom. And if you know the story of Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom says, I'll take the ark. And he housed it in his house for a little bit. But I believe it's a picture of that when man tries to put his hand on God's mercy, when you try to direct God's mercy, when you try to steer God's mercy and his grace, it never works out. But if you'll take the ark to home with you today, the very presence, it symbolizes the presence of the Savior, symbolizes the presence of God's mercy. And it said Obed-Edom took it home with him, and when he did, his house was blessed, his cattle was blessed, his children was blessed. The blessings of the Lord come when we take the presence of God into our homes. One thing that's happening right now in our country is people are having to stay in their homes. And I hope you're finding time to sit around the family table. I hope you're finding time for devotions. I hope the mercy seat has come into your house and the reflection of Jesus is there and is alive and well. You know, we all the time say in this country when we want to put God back in the White House, and I'm all for that. That's wonderful. But the best way to put God back into our nation is to put him in our house. When we put God in our house, our children and our families, when we recognize and celebrate Jesus and make him forefront in our lives, that's how we get God back into our nation. And I challenge you with that today. That, you know, stay connected to the church, stay connected to God, stay connected to your devotions, and find all kinds of ways to celebrate Jesus today with your family time. I hope Jesus gets way more attention today than the Easter Bunny. Can somebody say amen? But he was saying to her, greater things are yet to come. But he said, you're going to have to take your hands off of my sacrifice. Take your hands off of my mercy. Take your hands off of my grace. Because the grace of God is for whosoever will. We don't get to choose who gets God's mercy or who gets God's grace. He is our heavenly mercy seat. If you cling to what used to be, I can't take you to the next step and where we need to go. But I wanted to tell you today that that weeping is over and that death has no hold on our Savior and death has no hold on you. As I was meditating this morning and looking at the sunrise and looking out over the mountains and the valley, I was thinking to myself, and I wrote a few things down that said, he is alive. My dad used to sing the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And I know, yes, I know who holds tomorrow because of he lives. And I love that song, and I always think of my dad when we sing that. And my mom always sang the song, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. What a powerful picture of the mercy of Jesus. But I know Jesus is alive today. And the reason I know he's alive is because I have seen him. I've spotted him. I've seen Jesus. I'm an eyewitness. I have seen him in so many ways, even in this last little while in our community. I've seen him in our doctors and our nurses who are serving relentlessly, unselfishly, going into work, providing care and help to all of those who have been sick in this virus. Yeah, I've seen Jesus in that. I've seen Jesus in the restoration of Peter's failure when he comes to the shore with Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter denied the Lord, but three times Jesus came back to him and said, Peter, do you love me? And ultimately Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. I've seen Jesus in the doubt of Thomas. When Thomas said, I can't believe unless I touch the nail prints in his hands and I see his wounded side. And Jesus doesn't come back to Thomas and say, oh, Thomas, you doubter. He says, put your hands in my hands, Thomas. I want to tell you today, put your hands in the hands of Jesus. If you've got doubt, put your hands in the hand of Jesus. But don't let that one moment of doubt define you for an eternity. We call him doubting Thomas. Jesus never did. Jesus met him where he was, and he restored his faith and his confidence in Jesus. I've seen Jesus. I've seen him in our lunch ladies and those who are working so hard to serve the kids of our community to be sure they're fed during this time when school is not in. I've seen Jesus and the teachers that are trying to teach our kids and find a new way to get education into the homes of children with or without internet and the correct supplies that they need. I've seen Jesus in homes where people have sewed for hours masks for our communities, those who are still essential workers, those who are on the front lines, those who are working. Yeah, I've seen Jesus there. I've seen Jesus in the food banks who are feeding our hungry, those who are visiting the sick folk. I've seen Jesus in those that are taking food to shut-ins, to prison guards, to mail carriers, to kids who are making cards for the elderly. Yeah, I see Jesus in that. Pastors and teachers in Sunday schools who are trying to figure out a way to take the gospel to the nation because of what this has challenged us to do. Homes across the nation today can go for hours and see the message of the resurrection and the risen Lord. Not just one service today. You get to participate in a whole lot of them, and I encourage you to do that. I've seen Jesus caring for the elderly. I've seen him on social media and devotions that you've posted and communion that we've shared together. I've seen Jesus in the nursing homes of those who are caring for our elderly and our most fragile. I see Jesus in the money that's given in the support for those without jobs or those who are struggling through this pandemic. I see Jesus around family tables as conversation is switched from schools or work or TV, but it's switched to conversation that we can share family virtues and conversation and talk about Jesus at our tables again. The church has left the building and Jesus is being seen. The tomb is empty. The church is empty, but it's alive and well because we have been commissioned today, just as Mary was, to go tell my disciples, go tell the world that I am indeed risen again. That's a powerful statement. It says the king has left the tomb and the church has left the building. It's been reported that Jesus has been spotted. I'm here to tell you today, I know he's alive and well. I know Jesus is the resurrected king. I know he's at work and sits on the right hand of the Father. I know this story to be true because I've seen him. I've witnessed him myself, and I hope you've witnessed him too. I hope you have been his hands extended. I hope you have been his feet in action. I hope you're reaching out to somebody somewhere to give hope and peace in life today. So many are scared. So many are discouraged. So many are downhearted. But I want you to know today, Jesus is alive and well. I see him at work. I hope you feel him right now in your living rooms, your cars, your office, wherever you might be, wherever you're watching this today. I want you right now to feel that power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is still saving families. He's still delivering those struggling with substance abuse. He's still healing our bodies. He's still rolling stones away from graveyards and hearts today. As we take a moment today of reflection, I want to give you opportunity wherever you are. If you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, it's really very simple. It's as simple as opening your heart and saying, Lord, I receive you. I welcome you in. Come and take up your abode in my heart. Let your voice, the power of your Holy Spirit, be the guiding voice that guides me. So today, if you want to pray that prayer with me, Father, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my family. I give you my health. I give you my fear. I give you my sickness. I give you my crisis today, God. You bore our sorrow on the cross that we could have life and we could have it abundantly. So I accept you today, God, into every part of my being. We celebrate you today. We celebrate our risen Lord. Let's all pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the power of the cross. I thank you that you are bringing comfort into every home across our nation and across our world. I thank you, Lord, that today we have slowed down as if time has stopped. And Lord, we take time to just focus on you. We meditate today on your goodness, God. We receive your love, your life. Lord, you take our sorrow. You take our bitterness. Lord, and you have buried those things. You took them into yourself, Father, like a vaccination against sin, sickness, poverty, and disease. Hallelujah, Lord, that we could be immune to those things that would want to bring sorrow on our homes or sickness, God. We thank you today. We thank you for those who have watched. We thank you, Lord, for those who have been a part of what this house is called to do, Lord, in our calling, in our community, and in our nation. And we honor you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray if there's any watching under the sound of my voice this video, God, that are in crisis, are in need. Father, we cry out today with them. We cry out today with them, Lord. And we say today is a day of resurrection. Today is a day of life. And today is a day of new beginnings. And we mark this day as a turnaround of your provision and of your goodness, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you are partnering with us, we thank you to all of those who have sent your tithes, have gone online and given your tithes and your offerings, that we continue to do what we do out of this house, to continue to touch our communities and begin to minister, to continue to minister to all of those who are in need. And you help us do that by your generous heart. And so today, if you want to give, I challenge you to go to our website, wodchurch.com. There is a button on there for donations. You can go on and give by PayPal, debit, credit, however you would like to give. If you would like to send your tithes and you don't want to go online to do that, you can send them to 116 Harvest Drive, and we will get those. And if you need us to, some of you have dropped them off. Some of you have connected with us, and I thank you for that. I honor you for that. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for partnering with us. Remember those who are in mobile ministry in this time and season. When there are no churches to go to, there are no services being planned, and those who are in mobile ministry are not having much to fall back on. So keep them in your prayers, and also send an offering if you get a chance. Buy their book. Do whatever you can to minister to the need that you see around you. Hey, you guys are his hands extended. You are touching our communities. You are helping the hopeless. And I honor you for that today. Give as unto the Lord. Pray and ask the Lord what he'd have you give, because that's the first and foremost, whatever he lays on your heart, and that you give. And if you have a need, it's not just about giving, but if you have a need, please reach out to us. We want to help you in any way that we can. We love you today. We honor you. We hope that you celebrate the goodness of God today in so many ways. Love on your family, love on Jesus, and love on somebody who just needs your love and attention today. Hey guys, God bless. Can't we wait to be together with you again in service? But until then, thank God for media. We love you. God bless.